Genesis 19, and we'll be looking at the entire chapter, but not reading the entire chapter. Before we look at Genesis 19, I just want to talk briefly as an introduction that over in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, we read, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What does that mean? Well, think about it. Let me read it again. Think carefully as I read it. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, back long ago, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God tells us there that the Old Testament Scriptures were written for our learning. And so all of the Old Testament Scriptures, and one of those passages here in Genesis chapter 19, it took place about 4,000 years ago. Here in Genesis chapter 19, we read the account of how Lot lost everything that he had and why he lost it. As we read, as we studied earlier in chapter 13, Lot chose to move towards Sodom. Now remember, who was Lot? All right? Make sure we got our gears going. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and it was his brother's son, and his brother had died, and Abraham became kind of his guardian and took care of him, and now Lot is a grown man. He's got his own herds and flocks and family, and he's got, you know, they're all grown now. They're not young anymore. They're not little kiddies. His children are all old. They're marital age, and he has moved down to Sodom. And as he moved down that direction, he had no idea that, and never dreamed that it would cost him his fortune, his family, and his favor with God. It cost him everything. And as we consider this, I want us to see how Lot lost everything that he valued. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap. And it's a very serious trap. And we need to be very careful. Sin is like the strong current of a river. If you've ever been on a river where the current was strong, especially if there was a waterfall ahead. And as you get closer and closer to the waterfall, if you're in a boat, you're paddling along, and you get closer and closer to the waterfall, what happens? The water speeds up, and the current gets stronger. And if you don't get out of there quick, you're going to get to one portion where you've gone beyond your ability to escape, and it'll take you over the falls. And depending on the size of the falls, that could be disastrous. And the same thing is true with sin. You know, sin did that to Lot in his life. Lot got closer and closer to Sodom and closer to the things of Sodom, and before long, it swept him in and sucked him in, and he went and eventually went over the falls, and so to speak, and he lost everything. And so tonight, as we look at this, I want us to unpack three lessons that God tells us regarding Lot that we need to learn to be able to avoid the same losses in our lives. Lesson number one. You will become like the friends you choose. You will become like the friends you choose. Verse number one of Sodom says, 19 says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, there's several things we see right away here about this, and I'll dig into that in just a moment. But before we do, you know, you look at what is taking place in Lot's life. Where is he at right now? He's in Sodom. He's at the gate. He's sitting in the gate. That's a place of prestige. And I remember back years ago, and Melody might remember this as well, but when we were in Bible college, I remember a preacher making a statement, and I wrote it in my Bible because it really struck me. He said that toleration will lead to compromise, and compromise will lead to apostasy. Now, what do those words mean? Toleration. Toleration is when we put up with things. We just get used to them. We become accustomed to things, and it doesn't bother us anymore. We tolerate them. And toleration leads to compromise. And when we get to compromise, compromise is moving closer to it. It's accepting it. It's being bent towards something. It's meeting them halfway. It is becoming more like that. And compromise will eventually lead to apostasy where we abandon the truth that we once held. And there are all kinds of people in our world today that they tolerated and then they compromised and then it led them to apostasy. It breaks my heart when I see people that I've known for years. And just the other day I looked up someone that I knew from years and years ago. I looked up, I knew what church that he was at, and I looked up in the church and I saw just by the pictures that they have and the things they were presenting in the church, I could see immediately that toleration had gone to compromise and compromise. I doubt it's gone as far as apostasy yet, but they're headed strongly that direction. Things had changed. They had their rock band up there and, you know, the whole nine yards. Things had changed. Now, how did that happen? It didn't happen overnight. It happened slowly. There's tolerance, toleration, and then compromise, and then apostasy. And we see this exactly taking place in Lot's life. Right there in verse number 1, we find that the angels find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, the gate, sitting in the gate was a place of leadership. It was a place of prestige. It was a place where the important people sat. And now Lot's sitting in the gate of Sodom. He's in the right in that city. Remember, he moved towards Sodom in chapter 13, and now he's not only towards Sodom, he's actually in Sodom. Not only is he in Sodom, but now he's sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot knew before he moved to Sodom that it was a wicked place. Back in chapter 13, verse number 13 says, "And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So God addressed that to us back in chapter 13, verse 13. And so it was a common knowledge that the people of Sodom were wicked people. They were people who were involved in all kinds of immorality and in sodomy and homosexuality and all kinds of evil and wickedness. And God made that statement way back then. And now Lot's not only gone down near them, but now he actually lives in the city and he's sitting in the gate. Homosexuality and wickedness of Sodom did not keep Lot from living there. He tolerated it. And Lot tolerated their wickedness of Sodom to advance his own selfish agenda. He went there, why? Not so much, I don't think Lot went there because, oh, he says, "I've always thought it would be cool to be around those kind of people." I don't think he did that. I think he did it for one reason. He knew that the land of Sodom was in was well watered and green and well pastured, and the people down there were wealthy, and he wanted some more money. "And I'll go down there near Sodom and I'll have nice pastures for my cattle and my sheep and they'll grow fat and big and I'll get more money and I'll become more wealthy and I'll get what I want in this life." And so he went down there with that goal in mind. And he tolerated the things of Sodom and he ends up living with the world there in Sodom. You know, if you excuse, you know, in our personal lives, when we bring them back to us, all right? We're not tempted to go down to Sodom in the same way that he did. But, you know, if we excuse cursing and swearing and bedroom scenes and infidelity and homosexuality, rebellion and murder and violence and immodesty and in our entertainment, whether it be on the internet or whether it be on television or on something else that we're watching, if we excuse that, we need to beware. Because we're tolerating evil. You know, sometimes we just sit there and say, "Well, you know, what do you expect? You know, it's just a pagan movie. And, you know, yeah, they're going to be swearing. And there's going to be, oh, yeah, kids don't look. That's not very nice right now." You know, that kind of stuff. And we tolerate that. And we overlook that. And we let it go. We're tolerating evil. And it's going to lead us down the wrong direction. And I know. I know there's a great temptation. The devil's keen. He is clever. And he'll put the immorality scenes and the wickedness in right in the middle of the best part. And you say, "Oh, you know, it's so good. I got to see what's going to happen to this guy, you know." And so we watch it anyway because we want to see what's going to happen. And the devil's plotted that all out. And God says we need to be careful. We're tolerating evil. But then not only did he tolerate, but he also compromised his morals in Sodom. We read on in verse 2, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Lot know that these two fellows that were visiting him were angels? No. They were just two guys that happened to show up. And they looked like decent people. And Lot knew what the wicked people of Sodom would do if they caught them and got a hold of them during the night. So Lot says, listen, you know, you look like decent people. Come and stay at my place. I'll give you a place. I'll put your bed up for you. You can have a nice meal tonight. My wife will cook you a nice meal. We'll have a nice time of fellowship tonight. And they said, no, we're going to stay in the streets tonight. And Lot said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And verse number 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around both young and old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out that we may know them. They didn't want to sit down and have a cup of coffee. That was an evil plot. They were homosexuals and ungodly people. And they said, bring them out to us. And Lot goes to the door in verse 6, and he went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I notice this. He calls them brethren. And then he tells them, do not so wickedly. Now notice their response. But behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what he is doing? His morals have been corrupted. He is compromised. He's willing to take his two virgin daughters and turn them over to this ungodly mob and do as they please with them. Unbelievable. Continue to read in verse 9. And they said, stand back. They said again, this one fella came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men would be the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So God steps in. The angels blind the wicked men. Lot escapes their beating. But in the meantime, he's already compromised. He said that he'd give them his daughters. And we read down in verse number 12, and it says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here besides son-in-law or in thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, notice verse 14, unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But they seemed unto him as one that mocked unto his son, seemed unto him as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. All right, so he tells his sons-in-law, come on, guys, you got to get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. Come on, old man, don't worry. We're fine. There's no God. Nobody's going to destroy us. And they laughed at him. They didn't want to know about it. They wanted nothing to do with it. And his children became ungodly. He let them marry ungodly pagans. You know, while he's there, he allows his children to marry these people from the Sodom. So he took a step further in. And then later on, toward the end of the chapter, or closer to the end of the chapter, verse number 31, after he's escaped from the city and the city's been destroyed, and he went up into the mountain to live with his two daughters that were the only ones that were left. And then we see in verse number 31, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. This was his daughters, the ones that were still unmarried yet. And they lost their morals. What had happened? He tolerated Sodom. He got close to Sodom, and then Sodom polluted him, and he became more and more corrupted and more polluted by this, and the compromise destroyed him. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And you know, folks, that applies to us just as much today as it did in Sodom day. Because if you get the wrong kind of friends, they will corrupt you. They will ruin you. Every time I've seen it happen again and again and again, people get around the wrong kind of people and it wrecks their life. It destroys them. It pulls them down. Even good people. And you might say, well, I'm strong. I'll do right. No, you won't. If you hang around the wrong kind of people and you make them your friend and you associate with them and they become your close companions, you will compromise. They will pull you down. So many times young people, they feel like they're strong, and I've heard stories of, you know, maybe a nice girl, she's got an unsafe boyfriend, and she thinks, oh, I'll win him to Christ. You know, I'll just be a good testimony. I'll win him to Christ. It doesn't work that way. Oh, there's rare examples, rare times when that might happen. But a vast majority of the time, it does just the opposite. Instead of her winning him, he destroys her. And things go from bad to worse. Be careful. Be aware. And Lot here, God says, I want you to learn from history. You know, I remember the president of the Bible college that we graduated from, his name was Myron Cederholm. And Dr. Cederholm used to tell us again and again and again, he'd say, the best thing you can learn from history is to learn from history. Learn from history. And so God has given us history here, and God's saying, learn from history. If you tolerate sin, it'll lead you astray. And if it leads you astray, you will compromise. And if you compromise, eventually it'll lead you into apostasy when you turn your back on all that you think is right. So we need to be very careful, especially you young people. Don't be deceived. Number three, we find here that Lot apostatized to be accepted there in Sodom. He's now sitting in the gate of the city. He's a leader. He's one of the people of the city that is well known and respected. He calls the Sodomites his brethren. Remember, he says, don't do such evil things, my brothers. He's just one of them. And he planned to sojourn there temporarily, but he ends up staying for the rest of his life there, or the rest of for many years anyway. He didn't live there all his life because he got burned up. But if, you know, we can't help but look at this and they think, all right, now, if these two visitors came into the city and the first thing, the first night, what happens? All the city comes, they wanted to take these guys and abuse them because they came into the city. How did Lot get into the city without going through that himself? Or did he go through that himself? We don't know. We don't know. But here he is in this filthy city, and all of this is taking place. You know, if Peter, over in the book of 2 Peter, if Peter had not told us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Lot was a just man, you would never, ever guess it. If all that we had about Lot was here in the book of Genesis, you would never, ever guess that Lot was a believer. But Peter tells us he was. But Lot had lost his testimony. He had lost everything. He had gone to the place where he gives up all that was precious to him. And it led him from toleration to compromise to apostasy. But there's another lesson I want us to learn. Not only are we to learn the lesson that you will become like your friends that you choose, but secondly, worldliness will ruin your influence for God. Worldliness will ruin your influence for God. Why did God put us on this earth? To love God and to love others. Just this morning I was reading there in Mark, and someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God has told us again and again, we are to love God and we are to love others. And that's to be our job in life. That's to be our purpose here. God wants us to not love ourselves. You know, we need to put God first instead of ourselves. Yet there's a great temptation to put ourselves first. Worldly Lot could not pass on his faith because of his worldliness. Lot became righteous as a young man. Abraham had taught him the way of God. And sometime in his youth, he put his faith in God. Peter tells us so. Righteousness is always and always will be by faith in God. It was by faith in God in Genesis. It was by faith in God all through the Old Testament. It's by faith in God in the New Testament. It's by faith in God today. Now, we know a lot more about God than they did, but it's always been by faith. And so he had put his faith in God. And yet we see here that though he was righteous in his heart, Lot made no effort to live godly before his family. Instead, he lived a worldly life. You read this account in full and you'll find no evidence that Lot's wife was a believer. God had told them when the angel said, flee for your life. Run to the city. Or run to this other city that he begged them to be able to go to. He says, all right, run to this place. Go to it and do not look back. What did Lot's wife do? She turned and looked back. And we have the record in the New Testament. Remember Lot's wife. What are we to remember? Remember, she turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed God, because she loved the world. Lot lost his wife in all of this because he had not lived a godly life before her. We don't even know where she came from. I mean, perhaps he married her in Sodom. I don't know where he got her. I doubt it. He probably had her beforehand, but she knew what was right. She refused to obey it. He failed to pass on his faith to his children. Verse number 12 implies that his daughters had already married the pagans of the city. He didn't pass it on to them because he went to them and to these sons-in-laws and says, come on, guys, get out of here. God's going to destroy it. And what did they do? They laugh at him. They were destroyed in the flames of the fire. And his two daughters that did leave the city with him became corrupt. His wife got turned into a pillar of salt. All that's left is Lot and his two daughters. And they commit immorality with him. Get him drunk and they commit immorality with him because of their evil, the evil that had been in their heart. Lot lost everything. He lost it. Why? He did not have any influence because of his worldliness. He didn't influence his, he couldn't pass on his faith. Or he didn't pass on his faith. And worldly Lot could not help Sodom spiritually either. He wasn't any help to the people in Sodom. Lot had no testimony before them. He had no spiritual influence there. We see in verse number 9 that they, notice what they said to him. You know, they said, this one fella came into sojourn, and will he needs be a judge? Now we're going to deal worse with you than we did with them. All right? So now they're attacking him and saying, you just came here to stay for a little while. Now you think you're going to be our judge? No way. Get out of here, old Lot. And they weren't, he had no testimony before them. And Lot was so low spiritually that he offered these wicked men his daughters. He had no testimony before them. And God has always required separation for our protection. You know, a lot of times people look at separation and think, oh, separation's a pain. You know, we got to, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Why does God tell us to separate from evil? Well, we get a perfect picture of this back in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn over there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Just a few pages over. Well, quite a few pages over. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 with me. All right, now I want you to look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And beginning with verse number 1. Deuteronomy 7, beginning with verse number 1, we're going to go on through verse 4. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You know, we can look at that and say, oh, that's awful harsh. Why would God do that? It's because God knew what would happen. He knew they would corrupt them. They were wicked, evil, rotten people. Verse number 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy sons. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. What did God say? He said, you must separate from these people. You must not marry among them. You must not live among them. You must not allow them to live among you. Why? Because they will lead you astray. And God is urging us and pleading with us and telling us we've got to be careful. You say, yeah, well, that was Old Testament. Well, we find over in the New Testament a very similar command. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness. God says, do not be unequally yoked with them. What does that mean? What was a yoke? Well, a yoke was the big dual piece of wood that they carved out to put over the shoulders of two animals that would work in the field. And they would fasten those two animals together with that yoke around their neck. And they had to be the same kind of animals. You didn't put a donkey on one side and a cow on the other side. They didn't work together the same. You'd have to put them together. They need to be equally yoked. And God uses that as an illustration. He says you cannot be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. When a Christian marries an unbeliever, it's an unequal yoke. They are going to have problems. I mean, marriage in alone, just getting along with someone else always has its own conflicts. No marriage is without any conflicts. But at the same time, you get an unbeliever and a Christian together, and they're going to have all kinds of problems because they're headed the wrong, opposite directions. So God warns us to be careful. It's not just marriage. Maybe business. Maybe our friends at school. And maybe other things that we're having unequal yoke. We need to be very, very, very careful in that regard. Then number 3, we see here that sin will rob you of all that is valuable. Sin will rob you of all that is valuable. The third lesson that we need to learn here tonight. Because of his sin, Lot lost his fortune. We mentioned at the beginning that he lost his fortune, he lost his family, and lost his favor with God. Let me show you this here tonight. He lost his fortune. He gained flocks when he got to Sodom. He went down there and his flocks grew. He had lots of pasture. He had lots, and things were prosperous. And he was a wealthy man, I'm sure, by the time he got there. And now he's sitting in the gates of the city. He is a wealthy, well-known man. And he's got lots of flocks, but he lost every one of them when the fire burned. He gained riches, but they all burned up. When God sent no fire from heaven, Sodom was devoured. He gained pleasure, but for the rest of his life, he had loss and regret. Can you imagine the rest of Lot's life, thinking back? I lost everything. I lost all my flocks. I lost all my herds. I lost all my money. I lost all my clothes. I lost everything I had. I lost my wife. I lost all my family. All I got was my two daughters, and they've been immoral. I've lost everything. And you look throughout the rest of the Bible, you don't find Lot doing anything for God from that point on. In fact, the children that were born by this incest with his daughters were the Ammonites and the Moabites. Were they the friends of Israel? No! They were enemies of Israel. And Lot lost it all. Why? Because he did not do what God wanted him to do. He lost everything that valued him, that he valued. He lost his fortune. We see also that Lot lost his family. Lot adults, married children, had no time for God. And it must have been a heartbreak. Can you imagine as a parent? As Lot was fleeing to this far away or close nearby city, the one that he had gotten permission to go to, and all of a sudden they hear the thunderbolt from heaven. Boom! And the lightning flashes and the city explodes in a flash of fire. And knowing that his children are back in that fire must have been a terrible heartache. Terrible heartache. Lot's wife never saw her again. I don't know whether she was walking ahead of him or behind him. If she was walking ahead of him and suddenly she turns around and instantly in front of his eyes she turns into a pillar of salt, he did not dare turn around and look back. He had to keep going. If she was behind him, he never saw her again. She was just behind him standing there on the mountainside as a pillar of salt because she was so worldly and ungodly. Lot lost his wife. Lot lost his daughters to immorality and paganism. Lot lost his family. Our families are the most precious thing to us. Our families are what are dear to our hearts. We don't want to lose our families. We don't want our families to go away. And it hurts when parents see their children go astray. And Lot's family didn't just go astray. They were most of his family perished in Sodom. Lot lost his family, but Lot also lost his favor with God. He had potential of being what God wanted him to be. He was Abraham's nephew. He knew the truth. He knew more about the truth perhaps than anybody else in their area. No, Abraham would have taught him much about God as they were growing up together. 2 Peter chapter 2, I alluded to it. I did not read it, and I waited until now to read it. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we read that God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. Now, I found it very interesting. I didn't discover this until I was just preparing this message. The word vexed is used twice in those two verses, once in verse 7 and once in verse 8. It's a different Greek word, and it's interesting. The first word, vexed, literally means to be oppressed or worn down. So, delivered just Lot, who was oppressed and worn down with the filthy conversation or the filthy way of life, the filthy manner of life of the wicked there in Sodom. For that righteous man, God calls him righteous. Dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. The second word vexed there is a word that literally means tortured. It tortured his soul. He dwelt among them. He saw them. He heard them. He was there. He was among them. And it tortured his righteous soul day after day after day with their unlawful deeds. And yet he stayed there. And it tortured him. He lost his favor with God. God could have used him, but he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave that city that was so precious to him because he got his money there and his wealth there and his fame there and his pleasure there. He wouldn't leave. And he lost it all. It tortured him day after day, knowing he'd see these people doing these vile things, and he knew deep down in his heart it convicted him and said, "This is wrong, but I can't leave. My family's here. But this is wrong. Oh, it hurts to see them do it. But I like it here. I don't want to leave." And there was a fight inside of him because he was not walking with God. God could have used Lot, but he lost his opportunity because of his carnal life in Sodom. And sin ruined Lot's life and his favor with God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There's different ways of looking at that verse there in Matthew, but I don't believe it's particularly talking about an unsaved person. I believe it's talking about a Christian. When it talks about losing their soul, it wasn't talking about losing it eternally. It was talking about losing their life, the value of their life. They lost everything. He had the opportunity to serve God and please God and be used of God, and he lost it all because of his sin. And the same is true with us. And God warns us and pleads with us and says, listen, listen, listen. Look at Lot's life. Learn from Lot. Remember Romans 15:4. He says, God gave us the Old Testament for our learning so that we can learn from that and not repeat the history. Learn from history. Don't repeat it. God is warning us and begging us to pay attention to this. So tonight we've unpacked these three lessons here. You will become like your friends that you choose. Worldliness will ruin your influence for God, and sin will rob you of all that's valuable. Beware. Beware. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Lot lost all, and it was recorded for our learning. You know, we need to ask ourselves an important question. Is there something from Lot's loss that God wants you to learn from tonight? Ask yourself that. Is there something from Lot's loss that you need to learn from tonight? What are your friends like? What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends that are building you up, or are they friends that are pulling you down? Has worldliness crept in your life? Become an ungodly, worldly person. Your music, the words of the music that the world sings today is filthy. If that's the kind of music that you enjoy listening to, your heart is ungodly. You have become deceived, pulled away from God, and pulled away from the truth. Is there sin that you need to confess and forsake before it robs you of all that you possess? We need to learn from Lot's life.